Radio Daily for
Anti-Friday, but hey,
look, yeah,
we're back. What?
We missed you.
Crazy, this insanity and the nonsensicalness and people getting back together and the entire world going crazy over the iTunes thing. It's not going to change. Forget it. Okay? iTunes should have died a long time ago. Let it go. Let it go. Sorry. Hi. We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Just the entire Facebook community is like, what's going to happen to podcasts? They're still going to be there. Get a better podcatcher. That's all I'm saying. The folks who are bringing it to you today, well, the lady that's assessing things in her life right there, that would be the Flintstress.
Will you stop talking like an idiot, please?
Sometimes I have to talk like an idiot, darling, so you'll understand me.
Makes total sense. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
My humble personage bows before your grandeur.
What happened this fine day?
Well, in 1875, Alexander Graham Bell first transmits speech using the magnetic microphone of his harmonic telegraph. The experiment will later lead to the creation of the telephone.
So in 1880, Alexander Graham Bell transmits the first wireless telephone message using the photophone, which did not transmit pictures. But it does do vibration of light reflected from mirrors rather than electrical signals into sound.
Okay. 1889, construction of the first long-distance electric-powered transmission line in the U.S. is completed. The line runs 14 miles between a generator in Willamette Falls in Portland, Oregon.
1902, Thomas Edison receives a patent for the reversible galvanic battery.
In 1940, the daily comic strip Invisible Scarlet O'Neill, written and drawn by Russell Stamm, debuts in the Chicago Times. The strip follows the adventures of Scarlet O'Neill, one of the earliest female heroes, who has the ability to make herself invisible. Scarlet, who never wears a costume, uses her ability in order to help strangers and assist the police with apprehending dangerous criminals. The strip runs till 1956.
Why is there no movie about that? 1948, Edward Brown Jr. opens the first movie theaters for cars and small planes, Ed Brown's Drive-In and Fly-In, in Asbury Park, New Jersey. It can hold 500 cars and 25 planes, which could land in the airfield next to the drive-in.
Okay. Same year, the Hale Telescope, the largest telescope in the world at the time, is dedicated at the Mount Palomar Observatory in San Diego County, California. It's the first telescope in the world to be equipped with a 20-ton, 200-inch lens, which had to be slowly cooled over 11 months after it was cast before being ground and polished for another 11 years.
1953, the New York Times describes the CBS coverage of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II in the UK the previous day as the birth of international television.
I'd watch it. In 1965, NASA launches the Gemini 4 on the first multi-day mission for an American crew. During the mission, Major Edward H. White conducts the first U.S. spacewalk, floating free outside the space capsule for 21 minutes at an altitude of 120 miles.
1983, Chin Chui, assistant manager at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in Manhattan, New York, discovers that a digital VAX 11780 computer responsible for monitoring radiation treatments had failed overnight. Upon investigation, he discovers that billing records worth an estimated $1,500 have been deleted from the system. Five new accounts have been created and a Trojan horse installed into the system. The FBI gets involved and finds some hackers ages 15 to 22 who call themselves the 414s after the city's telephone area code. They're responsible for hacking incidents across the U.S. and canage, including an unclassified computer at a nuclear weapons laboratory in Los Alamos.
Damn.
By September, members of the group, most notably Neil Patrick, not Harris, will be national celebrities appearing on the cover of Newsweek and testifying before Congress on the dangers of hacking. As a result, six bills concerning computer crimes will be introduced.
Wow. Same year, MGM United Artists Entertainment releases the science fiction film War Games, directed by John Badham and Martin Brest, starring Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy, John Wood, and Barry Corbin.
That's kind of what those guys were just doing.
Right?
1990, Nintendo sues Louis Galoob Toys Incorporated in an attempt to prevent the Game Genie from reaching market.
In 93, Casio and Palm Computing release the Zoomer Personal Digital Assistant, PDA, beating the long-awaited Apple Newton to the market.
Right.
Wow.
1996, Del Rey releases the sci-fi novel Ringworld Throne by Larry Niven. It's the third book in the Ringworld series.
Same year, Motorola introduces the Motorola StarTAC wearable cellular telephone, the world's smallest and lightest mobile phone to date. It's the first clamshell mobile phone. You remember? My mom had one.
Everybody.
Yeah. Its revolutionary small size will make the phone one of the most popular cell phones available and continues to be popular well into the next decade.
Leading to person after person walking in and thrusting their hip at you going, do you have any accessories for my StarTAC?
Right.
2000, Tora Books releases the fantasy novel Forest of the Heart by Charles DeLint
Forest
as a hardcover.
Of the heart. 2003, Warner Home Video releases a collection of 9 short films set in the Matrix. That's the Animatrix, and was on DVD and VHS.
Do not watch them in the order they appear on the DVD. Email me for details. 2005, scientists with the U.S. Department of Energy Joint Genome Institute in Walnut Creek, California, announced in the journal Science they have successfully sequenced the DNA of an extinct species of cave bear from cells extracted from the tooth of a specimen that had died 40,000 years ago in Austria.
Yeah, nothing could go wrong.
Nothing could possibly. Birthdays?
Well, we don't have a lot today, but we have James Purefoy is 55. He was in A Knight's Tale, V for Vendetta, Solomon Kane, and Happen Leonard.
No longer with us, born this date in 1901, Maurice Evans, that's Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius, on the Planet
Dr.
of the Apes,
Zaius.
And was Hobart in The Jerk.
Born in 1917, Leo Gorcey from Dead End Kids, The East Side Kids, Mr. Muggs, The Bowery Boys, and The Sphinx.
Which is one of the weirdest films I've ever seen. 1929, Chuck Barris, of course, hosted The Gong Show, and depending on who you listen to, was an assassin for the FBI.
Well, on TV tonight, CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood and Man with a Plan, and a Marine is accused of murdering an Afghan commander on an American base, which prompts Trey and Maya to defend him during an on-base hearing on The Code and a new ball.
ABC, it's The Bachelorette and a rerun of Celebrity Family Feud.
On ABC, the answers. We get Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay. Fox, it's a new Beat Shazam, and So You Think You Can Dance?
On the CW, we get a rerun of Masters of Illusion, Burden of Truth.
Freeform, Mrs. Doubtfire, because every now and again it comes on.
Right? At first you think the mom is such a killjoy, but he brought a pony into the house.
Yeah, right?
On FX, Avatar.
FXX, The Simpsons, The Musk Who Fell to Earth, The Princess Guide, and Waiting for Guffman.
And on FXM, Longest Ride.
And it takes a bit. BBC America showing Predator and Predator and Predator 2. This is not a Stone Phillips thing. No, it's not.
Sundance is showing Starship Troopers.
That's coming back eventually. TNT, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, which
Don't
is why
do
they
it.
Made a sequel, because you never go back.
On Science, we get a new episode of How the Universe Works.
But they never tell us exactly how. USA, it's WWE Monday Night Raw.
They tell us how they think that the universe works. VH1 has Up All Night, a new Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
WGN is showing X-Men, which I've labeled V-Men, but I'm pretty sure it's X-Men, and that would be the original one. You remember back before Hugh Jackman worked out for these movies?
Uh-huh.
Tonight, though, we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a single mother and her teenage daughter are offered by the FBI to enter the Witness Protection Program to ensure their safety from a serial killer. But their attempt to escape danger ends up putting their lives at risk even more.
Oh, no.
Krista Allen and Louis Mandalore star in I Almost Married a Serial Killer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Detectives Eric and Brady investigate Marlena, whom they believe has murdered her husband to collect insurance money. Detective Jack tries to get his cynical partner Ben to follow up on a cold case in which a woman was run over by a car. He finally convinces him and Ben gets a confession from a drunk driver who hit her. Detective Gabby continues a recent lucky streak by easily solving a murder immediately after taking it on, which stuns her partner Stefan, cause he a little slow. Detective JJ, who prefers to work alone, is forced to partner with a rookie named Chad, who disagrees with JJ's methods. For his first case as primary investigator, Chad is assigned to the murder of an 11-year-old girl. Wow, talk about hitting the streets running. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
And indeed we do. Hi, geeks. This is probably as close as I'm going to get to knowing where Chabby and the gang are, and I'm still about a week behind. I recall hearing the name Xander associated with the show. Maybe it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I'm really not sure. You're not sure, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and jump to the gun here. Bill, Xander is one of the characters from Days of Our Lives. Any character name you hear is from Days of Our Lives. You got to figure out the show from the situations.
There was a Xander in Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
That's true. I can barely recall there was a show called Veronica's Closet. I don't know much about it, but it didn't last too long, or it's just mostly out of touch with TV broadcast. You know, I haven't watched in 75. I didn't have my own TV until 92, and by then it was mostly out of practice. Before I forget, John Wesley Shipp will be at GalaxyCon, which has just ended, so good luck for everybody that watched the original version of The Flash and the new one. So come out to GalaxyCon, where Don and I will be volunteering. Don't let Richmond lose this one the way we lost Wizard World. That's from Bill. Bill, I would have loved to have gone to GalaxyCon, but it was too close and I could not make it.
Yeah, if we hadn't just gone to Balticon, we would have found a way to do GalaxyCon as well. And hopefully they will be around next year. I think I've heard that they have a multi-year contract.
Indeed, they'll give it a few years to get it started and we'll see what magic we can make happen. And as far as Chad stuff goes, of all of the many people that sent in correct guesses, that yes, last time we did this, it was the show Square Pegs. a favorite of mine, which ran for only one season and had a lot of people who would go on to become famous, and drugs killed that show, which is a damn shame. But Jared, congratulations, you knew that, you figured that out, and you have won yourself a prize. So why don't you drop us a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com so we can set up where to send you your fantastic prize. Or if you want to, you can call the voicemail number of
510-GRD-CREW.
I'm sure it's something you have wanted your entire life.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Hello, I'm Robert Picardo, and for reasons I can't fathom, you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And, you know, maybe it's more than you just forgot to delete us from your podcast subscription. Thanks! So that's fantastic. Gosh, let's see what people did.
This week's 10, last week's 8, The Hustle made to 1.3 million. It's made a little over 33 in 4 weeks.
This week's 9, last week's 5, Brightburn, which I still need to go see. 2.3 million. It's made 14 in 2 weeks on a 6 million budget. Bring us the sequel. That's the sequel the world does need.
This week's 8, last week's 6, Booksmart, made $3.3 million. It's made a little over 14 in 2 weeks.
It's much better than the description, the female super bad. It's much better than that. This week's 7, last week's 4, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, another $6.6 million, 130 in 4 weeks on a 150 budget. It's doing all right.
This week's 6, last week's 3, still hanging around, Avengers Endgame, made another $7.8 million. It's made $815.5 US on a 356 budget.
Wow. This week's 5, last week's 2, John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum, another $11 million, 125 in 3 weeks, undisclosed budget, who knows?
Who knows? Who cares? This week's 4 was new, Ma, the horror movie, made $18.2 million on a $5 million budget.
This week's 3 is Rocket Man, going to the theaters to see that film. It made $25 million on a budget of 40. It's going to do fine. Apparently, Taron Egerton does an amazing job, and oh my god, hey folks, spoilers, but the whole movie is a musical. That's why you should see it.
Ooh, fun. This week's 2, last week's 1, Aladdin, made another $42 million. It's made $185 on a $183 budget, so it's made its budget back in 2 weeks.
The number one movie in America this week did not make as much as they wanted, but Godzilla, King of the Monsters, $49 million. It's a $170 million budget, so yes, we all need to go back out and watch that again several times over the course of this next week. Won't you do that for us? It's the right thing to do.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. If you're following us on social media, you already saw the report about Robert Pattinson being cast as Batman.
Shiny.
Well, turns out that was not 100% official at the time. He was simply screen testing against Nicholas Hoult, whom you may know from X-Men.
Oh, he bests the Beast again.
He certainly has. A bit more clarification was given. Pattinson is indeed playing Ben Affleck's Batman, but at the start of his career.
Okay.
So that means we could be getting the Batman Year One movie that Batman Begins touched on very, very heavily, which is amazing, and watch the animated version. It's crap. Plans are for a trilogy of films, to which we all said, duh,
right.
That's how things go now. And with any luck, the trilogy will give us the story that shows what happened to Robin.
He had a bash.
God. So this is happening, so go ahead and make your sparkle jokes. I'm just glad after 11 years, this vampire finally figured out how to bat.
That's what we do in the shadows. Reference, folks. Kind of fun, interesting news, and if I could do a British accent, I would, but an appliance that powers a home boiler using rubbish, including plastic, nappies, food, and even garden clippings, is due to go on sale next year.
Great Scott!
The British invention, which is called Hiru, which it seems is, you know, Mr. Fusion's first name, is about the size of a washing machine and is the brainchild of inventor Nick Spencer and experts from the Brunel University in London. And as it moves from the drawing board to commercial production, it has been suggested that the Hiru, the Home Energy Resources Unit, could become a commonplace in kitchens as washing machines and dishwasher, while diverting millions of tons of rubbish trash from landfills.
Maybe even as much as 1.21 gigatrash.
The business's new partner, James Clark Technology, will start manufacturing and selling the Hero next year. Although the price tag for the first generation is like £20,000, putting them out of the reach for the mass market, it is expected to eventually fall to about £3,000 to £4,000. The appliance could provide more than 40% of a typical household hot water needs while turning their trash into little more than a teacup of ash that can be flushed away.
Heavy.
The Hero technology involves a 3-stage process, which slowly turns the waste into a charcoal-type material that is then burned to run the boiler. The company says the system is far greener, with a lower carbon footprint than having trash collected by the council and carted off to be buried in a landfill or burned for electricity in a commercial incinerator. Next, they're going to perfect, you know, how to rehydrate a pizza.
One of the biggest gaming surprises of the last few years was that reboot of Doom was not only good, but pretty good, if not even great.
Better than the movie?
What could be? Id, now Bethesda's Id, even managed to recreate the fun from back in the day while making it a modern-day game, and there is more Doom to come.
Doom 2 Electric Doomaloo? Or Doom 3 the Doomining?
Doom co-creator John Romero revealed that he is making and giving away brand new levels for the original PC Doom next February. Set before Doom 2 and called the spiritual successor to the fourth episode of Doom, Sigil contains 9 of the old-school chunky new single-player campaign missions, as well as 9 deathmatch arenas, all for free. It's pretty much an expansion pack.
I remember those. Will I need a null modem cable for multiplayer?
Keeping the retro vibe going, Sigil will be distributed using the same classic WAD and Mega WAD file, stop your giggling, that Doom modders used to share custom content back in the day. And the physical version comes on USB drives designed to look like old school floppy disks.
What? You can get a physical copy of a video game that is retro.
Romero's previous new Doom levels from a few years ago were just online, but considering the scope of Sigil and its timing with Doom's 25th anniversary, he's partnering with Limited Run Games to offer physical fan boxes. Along with the game, the fan box includes a metal soundtrack from Buckethead and absolutely satanic artwork from Christopher Lovell. The thing you've always wanted. Whether you get the fan box or not, Sigil will be available to everyone in February 2019. So we now get to look forward to the weaponizing of demons for a brighter tomorrow.
Well, interesting news, a new targeted therapy using non-thermal radio waves has been shown to block the growth of liver cancer cells anywhere in the body without damaging healthy cells, according to a study conducted by scientists at Wake Forest University School of Medicine, part of Wake Forest Baptist Health.
Radio waves? AM or F? Cancer M!
Using animal models, the research team headed by Boris Pasche, chair of the cancer biology and director of the Comprehensive Cancer Center at Wake Forest Baptist, delivers levels of radio frequency to mice that had been injected with human cancer cells to replicate HCC, hepatocellular carcinoma, the most common type of liver cancer. The radio frequencies were the same as those delivered to the patients with HCC in Europe, where the device had been approved for use with people. Our study showed that the radio frequency delivered was at low and safe levels. It was actually lower than those generated by holding a cell phone close to your ear. They used to think that would give you cancer. The research team utilized a device invented by Pasche and Alexander Barbault, and they delivered cancer-specific amplitude-modulated radiofrequency electromagnetic fields, AMRF-EMF, programmed specifically for HCC. It activated a calcium channel on the surface of the tumor cells, but not on non-cancerous cells. The team's next step will be to identify the exact signaling cascade within the tumor cell that leads to the anti-cancer effects, Pasche says. They have also discovered a radio frequency for 15 different types of cancer, as previously reported in a study published in 2009 by the Journal of Experimental and Clinical Cancer Research. Radio killed the liver cancer. Radio killed the liver cancer. In our lungs and in our hearts. It stopped tumors from going too far.
The third season, and yes, I should apologize for that joke, or is it series of Stranger Things is almost here, which means it's time for some marketing.
What, even newer Coke?
One of the biggest trends in marketing in this day and age of ours is to make real-world locations into replicas of fictional spaces, because we want to inhabit our fictions. We want to hang out in them. We want to eat the food. We want to breathe the air that our favorite characters do.
Which is why I'm not going to any Chernobyl-themed places.
Good point. And since we love to blend the fictional world and the real-world one so much, it's time to go to the upside-down Baskin-Robbins of Scoops Ahoy.
What?
Scoops Ahoy is the ice cream shop that will feature as a major location in the third season of the show and has been a nexus of some of Netflix's best advertising thus far. Select Baskin-Robbins stores are getting a makeover to resemble the Faircourt Mall standby, dressing up employees and locations to invite customers into the world of Stranger Things.
It's like when they did that for The Simpsons and made 7-Elevens into Quickie Marts.
Ice cream, nostalgic TV shows, what could go better together? If you follow the show, you'll see some pictures from one of the pop-ups and get an idea of what sort of tasty treat you can find at Scoops Ahoy. And there's even, of course, an exclusive Funko Pop.
I mean, of course.
And hopefully, with any luck, a new Coke float. Huh?
Ah.
GRD is Lights of the Creative Commons Distribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, Dice Stage 3.0 Lights. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. The good stuff. And hopefully you enjoyed some of the panels that we got out. I'm having an issue with server stuff, so this episode is a little late, as you may have noticed, and I still have other things to post. We're going to fix all of that. It's nonsensical. If you know how to fix it, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or of course you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-PRO.
And we'll see you, sometime.
Bye, Felicia.
I think that's enough fun for one day.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers!
Oh my God, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
Sir, you better get on the headset.
Yeah.
Hey, General. The machine has locked us out. It's sending random numbers to the silos.
It's gonna get the codes to launch the missiles.
Just unplug the goddamn thing.
Jesus Christ. That won't work, General.
It would interpret a shutdown as the destruction of NORAD. The computers in the silos would carry out their last instructions. They've launched.
Well, can we disarm the missiles?
Over 1,000 of them. There's no time. At this rate, it'll hit the launch codes in 5.3 minutes.
Mr. McKittrick, after very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I don't have to take that, you pig-eyed sack of shit.
No, I was hoping for something a little better than that from you, sir, a man of your education.
General, it's the president.
Well, what are you going to tell him?
I'm ordering our bombers back to fail-safe. We might have to go through this thing after all.